Well, good morning, church. And it's good to be here this morning in the house of God this morning. Now, I'm going to bring you a word, and I'm not banging about the bush here. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be a challenging word, and I want you to not just sit there and listen to what I have to say, but I want you to listen from God and to see what He says through me this morning to you. Now, I wonder if you could turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. And I wonder if they're lovely. Thank you very much. And this is a very, very well-known scripture. We've known it for a long time now. And it's very, very simple. Like Rory said, not only do we have to come in prayer and in our worship like children, we also have to come before the word of God like children. And when we go back to our basic nest, if you like, or our when we first started out in our Sunday schools, then it's amazing how much we picked up because it was so simple. And this is a story of David and Goliath. We all know this, and it's very, very well known. But I feel that we need to read this morning. I'm not going to read all of it. It's quite a long scripture, but we're going to start off from verse 1 to 11, and then from 32 to 51. And it's on page 258 of the Church Bible. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered at Socho, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socho and Aziac, the Ephes Damin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel, and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul, chose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me? If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then he will be your servant. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may together fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 32. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose again against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these. I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for him 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all of this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put a stone, put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. So the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him, and cut his head off with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted, and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Sheoram, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? So David answered, I am the son of your servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite. So, here we see a very, very simple story. And it was a fight between the Israelites and the Philistines. Now, in the days of the Exodus, the Israelites would have been very, very afraid to enter the Promised Land. Why? As we've read, that there were giants in the land, and Goliath being one of them. And it said in verse 10, it says there, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now, obviously, Goliath was a giant, and they didn't want to go into the Promised Land to fight. So Saul was one of the tallest Israelites. And I would imagine that Saul was very, he was thinking, oh, it's going to be me that's going to have to fight this Goliath. It's going to be me that's going to have to go into the Promised Land over to the Philistines and fight this guy. God didn't have that plan. He used little boy David. And in God's eyes, Goliath was no different to any other of the Philistines. He used Goliath because he was a big, strong man. It says that he was over 9 foot tall. I don't know how tall you are, Rory. How tall are you? You're quite 6 foot three. That's another, obviously, another 3 foot onto Rory. So he would have been up here somewhere, up here where the ledge is. So it's quite a sized guy against a tiny little boy. So we see two differences here. We see a small boy and we see a huge, great guy. I suspect he was a macho man, been muscle building and been in the army and all sorts of stuff. A really fit guy. And here was the big contrast. We had a little guy and a big guy. We had a little guy with no protection, no armour, no nothing, no spear, no sword, nothing, against a guy who had all the armour on that he could have and a sword and all the rest of it. So it's quite a contrast in the two people. It's like me trying to fight Mike Tyson. It's just... it just wouldn't happen, I'd run away. So Goliath, you know, he was against a really, really small young lad. That's all he was. And it says in verse 38-39 about the protection. So Saul clothed David with his armour and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armour and then tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. I can imagine him, it's like when you go and get your new school trousers, your new school shirt, it's like, you know, it's like miles too long, your trousers are going over your shoes. I can imagine him, he's sort of like, the armour was going down like that and he's tried to walk and he's like this. Trying to... How can I fight like that? I can't even walk. So he took it off. He took it off. No, I don't want any of that. But David knew, the important thing here, David knew that his God was with him. You know, he must have been absolutely scared stiff and trembling to face it, go into this land and face this massive, massive giant in front of him. But you know what? David, however, saw a mortal man, Goliath, defying an almighty God. He saw a mortal man, Goliath, defying an almighty God. And that's why God sent David, such a small young lad, to show that Goliath, he was a defeated man. He was a defeated man. David looked at his situation from God's point of view. From God's point of view. Is there no way on this earth that he could have... If we saw that, there's no way on earth we'd think, this guy's having a laugh. He's not going to be able to defeat Goliath in no way whatsoever. You know what? Viewing impossible situations from God's point of view helps us put into giant problems into perspective. Once we see clearly, we can fight more effectively. I'll say it again. Viewing impossible situations from God's point of view helps us put giant problems into perspective. Once we see clearly, we can fight more effectively. You know what? You know, in our lives, you know what? The battle belongs to the Lord. Doesn't it? The battle belongs to the Lord. And, you know, whatever we're going through, I don't want to go on about my personal life, but this week has been really, really tough. A real tough, tough week. I had a best friend that's nearly died. I had a cold, and this, that, and the other. But the battle belongs to the Lord. We keep going, don't we? We don't say, oh, I've got a cold, I'm not calm, you know, all this sort of stuff. The battle belongs to the Lord. Give it to the Lord, you know? It belongs to the Lord. And the same in this situation when David felt had to fight Goliath. He must have been trembling in his boots like this. But he faced Goliath. He faced Goliath. And God was with him. And can you imagine how amazed those people must have been when he got his little pouch out of his pocket, threw it five little stones, put it in there, and straight out. You know, the battle belongs to the Lord. And just as David had Goliath to contend with, you know, in our lives individually, we have lots to contend with, don't we? Does anybody not have anything to contend with? We always have something to contend with, you know, whether we're the youngest or the oldest, whether we're individual, whether we're single, whether we're married, whether we're, you know, in a church, everywhere at work, everywhere there is challenges. And I want to tell you this morning that battle belongs to the Lord. Whatever we're going through. And I want you to take that from me this morning. The battle belongs to the Lord. Now in Romans 8, we read this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, that's a good start, isn't it? God is for us, who can be against us? So whatever we're going through this morning, or whatever we may be facing this year, remember that. Romans 8:31, very simple verse. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? You know, right at the outset, God was with David, like I said. Joshua 1 verse 9. There's going to be quite a few scriptures up here to help to encourage us this morning in whatever we may be going through or facing at the beginning of this year. In Joshua 1 9, it says this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So there you go. There's another real good verse that God is with us wherever we go. And David must have been frightened having to take on that giant, such a big man, but God was with him, the same as God is with us today. You know, that may have happened many, many, many years ago, but it's the same God we serve as what David served then. It's the same God. He hasn't changed. Like Rory said this morning, he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, is the same tomorrow, is the same next year, and all the other years that God has given us on this earth. It will never change. And even when we get to heaven, it will never change. Praise God. In 1 Peter 5:7, we read this. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He's there night and day, isn't he, Jesus? He's, you know, just, he's not on a hotline. We don't have a hotline to Jesus, but he's there every day. So in the lowly hours of the morning, you know, when we wake up and think, oh, you know, I've got this burden on my mind, I've got that burden on my mind, I've got this challenge to face at work, speak to the Lord. And like Rory said again this morning, the importance in prayer, come to him as a child and just open up your heart to him, give him everything, casting all your cares upon him. Well, he does care for you, he cares for me, and he cares for all of us at this church. So David's protection from God, God's protection was on David. He cared for him. In Psalm 121 and verse 1 and 2, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Again, without God, there was no way that David could have taken on this Goliath. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. But my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. But I want you to all be encouraged this morning that whatever challenge, or as I put it this morning, Goliath is in front of us this morning, it can be defeated. However big that Goliath is, it's standing in front of us. If God helps, it can be defeated. Why? Why? I'm going to give you two good reasons why. The first one is strength. Strength. Though the story of David and Goliath, we've seen how the battle belongs to the Lord. David knew God's strength. He knew that he was with him, but he knew that God gave him strength. You know, I bet he didn't have any muscles on him. I bet he was a scrawny little lad. You know, didn't have a six pack or anything like that. But he was just a scrawny little shepherd boy. But God gave him strength. And we're going to focus on God's strength for the next few minutes. And let us relate this to our lives this morning. In Psalm 46, verse 1, a really good psalm there. Very simple. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And it's amazing, isn't it amazing how simple the verses are, that they touch our heart more than the long, long verses. Well, it does me anyway. It's just so simple, isn't it? God is our refuge and strength, an ever present help in trouble. Can't not deny that, can you really? What do we do without God? You know, so many people have said to me this week, I don't know what I do without God, I just don't know how people cope. And it's so true. How do you cope? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Dan, you may feel this morning that you're in trouble, but be encouraged that God is our refuge and our strength, and always will be. It's not just for today, it's forever. In Philippians 4 and verse 13, another simple verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I wonder whether David had this verse in his mind as he was facing that giant. I can. It's not, I might be able to do. Or I'll see if I can. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to or not. It's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, as you know, our dear Colin went to be with the Lord last weekend, and we knew that it was going to happen, but we're rejoicing that he's with his Jesus this morning. And Colin would want us to be here this morning rejoicing with him that the strength will be with us this morning. And, you know, he sent me a Christmas card, and in his Christmas card, as bless him as Colin did, he used to put like lots of little texts. And he put two or three in my card. And then I picked this one out. And it's very, very apt for today. Do not reckon with your own strength and resources. They will not suffice. Reckon with God, with his strength and resources, and you will discover that they will always suffice for you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Isaiah 10, 40 verses 29 to 31. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not faint. Not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I love that verse. Absolutely love that verse. It always reminds me of mountains. I don't know why. It just reminds me of walking along. You know, and the mountains are beautiful, and the scenery, and the snow, and there's blue sky, and it's sunny. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. And you can imagine this eagle just soaring around the mountains and just got no effort, just like this. And it's just lovely how, well, that's what it pictures up for me. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. In Isaiah 12, verse 2, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. But this reminds us that we should put our trust in God this morning. Not just this morning, but when we leave here, when we're in our quiet time, put our trust in God. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Another simple one. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, it's a very special thing to know God's strength. It's a very special thing to know God's strength. If you never felt that strength, I suggest that you search for it this morning. If you never ever felt that strength that God can give. Nobody else can give it. Can't pay for it. But God gives us that strength that whatever we're going through this morning, you know, if we're facing that Goliath, God will give us that strength. Not only God gives us his strength, secondly, he gives us promises. Promises. The second good reason, promises. In Matthew 11 and verse 28 is a promise. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. There's a promise. Come to me, all you who are laden and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not I might do, but I will give you rest. Corinthians 12:9-10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. Amen. It's like, now, who would want to be persecuted? Who would want to be rough all the time? But I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. Church, be strong this morning. Don't be weak. Be strong. Whatever we're going through, whatever's been thrown at us, or whatever will be thrown at us. Be strong. Now, God is with us this morning. Put your Goliath that you're facing to God this morning, and he will give you strength, and his promises will never leave us. Amen. We're going to stand now. I'm going to sing a final song. And you know, God is our anchor. God is our anchor. You know, I couldn't find it this morning, but I've got a little anchor, and I bought it to church before. And you imagine an anchor, and when we're going through the storm, the best thing to do is what? Chuck the anchor down. Chuck the anchor down. And God is our anchor this morning. And that chain that's attached to that anchor, that's us. We're all linked, like links, together like that. And when the storm comes, you know, when it's on a calm water, you know, the anchor is just, it's slack. It's slack, isn't it? We're all together, but it's slack. But when the storm comes, everybody, it starts to strain. It starts to strain that anchor and pull. But God, as our anchor, grabs into that rock or that sand. And the more it strains that anchor, that chain, the more the anchor digs in the ground. And that's just like us as a church. You know, church, just keep together in that, you know, locked together in the, as those chains are locked. They will never come apart. Never, ever come apart. And that's the unity. And our God is at the other end of that anchor. That anchor in the ground. And when the storms do come, and the sea starts to rage, and everything's, you know, piling in on us, just remember that every time that's got taller, God is on the other end. But be encouraged this morning that God is our anchor, is our strength, and he gives us promises that nobody else can give us. Amen.